إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome all of you in this reminder, as I was asked to present some advices to our teenager girls. First of all, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guiding us to al-Islam and to follow the sunnah of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For indeed to be guided to al-Islam and to be a Muslim is a great gift that can come only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as you know, to be guided to al-Islam has nothing to do with who you are, what country you come from, nor what achievement you have achieved. But it is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Keep in mind, there are people that they used to live in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw this man, his trustworthiness, his character, his behavior, his generosity, his good etiquette. The Quran is revealed to him. They witnessed many great miracles. But still, many of them died upon kufr and disbelief. But as for us, we're far away from the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Some of us are far, like very far, like 1,400 plus years. But still Allah guides us to al-Islam. We didn't see the Prophet ﷺ. We didn't live in the same city he lived. We didn't see him every day or every afternoon. But after all these hundreds of years, we believed in him. And this is only good for us because Allah wants good for us. So this advice I'm about to present, first of all, I'm going to mention the reason why I'm giving this advice is for three reasons. Number one, min bab al-nasiha. As I mentioned, and the title of this is giving advice. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, ad-din al-nasiha. This religion is based on giving sincere advice. And one of the people that the advice should be given to, he says, the common folks amongst the Muslims. And I hope that this, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant me success in presenting to you, my dear sisters, in Islam, that which will benefit you in this long journey of yours. Because as a human being, we're on a long journey towards the hereafter. Our life span is nothing but a journey that will end by death in this life. But then another life will start in a grave, in the barzakh. Then another, the real life, will begin after resurrection. And you all know that there is only two destinations on that day. Two groups, not a third one. One group will dwell in the fire. We ask Allah to forgive us and to save us. And the other group will enjoy themselves in the everlasting entertainment that Allah has prepared for the believers and the righteous and the pious in the gardens of paradise. May Allah make us and you from them. Ameen. The second reason, Hubbul Khair Lakun. I want good for you. That's why I'm here sitting talking to you. And also this is from a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you will achieve the iman unless he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. When you say he loves for his brother, the sisters are included as well. So I want good for you. That's why I'm here trying to share with you what I'm about to share. Once again, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put on my tongue that which is beneficial for all of us. The third reason why I accept to address you in this afternoon from Masjid al-Tawheed in Star Mountain, Georgia. الحالة المزرية التي آلت إليها كثير من الشابات. Because of a sad reality, seeing a good numbers of our youth, boys and girls, don't you feel bad? I'm just because I'm addressing you, but the boys are involved in this too. Especially, this is not just because we live in this land, even in so many Muslim lands, because it has to do with a lot of things. Technology, this modern time, fast life. And you find many youth, they just lost in this dunya. And many of the teenage girls especially, they find it hard for them to really see the importance of being a Muslima and how Islam brings a lot. That you find girls making bad decisions. Teenage Muslim girls making bad decisions by taking the wrong turns, or being in a wrong place, or making a wrong click, or being around the wrong friends. And they make a mistake that sometimes they have to pay for the rest of their lives, bring them a lot of agony, pain, and the like. Now, we have to be happy that Allah has guided us to Islam. This religion is complete. In it, all what we need for us achieving serenity, tranquility, peace of mind, joy, stability, health, growth, and in the same time, we will escape hardship, misery. But only if we understand this religion correctly. It's not enough to just be Muslima just because you have a name Khadija or Amina or Maryam, for instance. Those are beautiful names, no doubt. It's not enough to be a good Muslima just because you born to a Muslim family, because your father and mother are Muslims, grandfathers and the like, or because you came from a Muslim, your background go back to a Muslim country, or just because, mashallah, at one moment you love this religion and you study it, you learn about it, and then you took your shahadatain. And you says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you were practicing for a moment and then you disconnect. Islam brings us joy. in our lives before actually enjoying the real happiness in the hereafter. The Quran is a cure. The Quran guarantees the rest of the mind and the ease of the hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe and their hearts feel at rest due to the remembrance of Allah, for indeed, with the remembrance of Allah, do hearts feel at ease. So we have to benefit from this beautiful religion of Islam. We're not going to benefit from it unless we learn it, unless we put forward some serious efforts. And it's, alhamdulillah, unlike centuries when the people has to travel on foot, because not everybody can afford to have a camel or a horse. People to learn, they used to have to travel for months just to make it somewhere. If they make it, some of them never made it. Some get lost, some die, some get sick. But we here in this time, look, from the ni'mah of Allah and the mercy, knowledge come to us. The people before us, they used to travel for knowledge. Now knowledge come to us. Scholars even come to us in America. You, subhanAllah, we have masajid, but you got to choose which masjid you go to. You got to go to the masjid that teach you the principles of Islam, that which the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upon, and his companions. This is the correct Islam. Not every masjid, just because they have the name of a masjid, no, but you got to be careful what they teach, where they come from. Because as you know, this deen is the religion of Allah. Nobody claims that this religion is his. People, they can claim, yes, they own houses, businesses, cars. But this is Allah's religion. He sent one book, the Quran, to one man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he commanded him to convey the message to all mankind, the jinn and the human being, the Arabs and the non-Arabs. And his religion will remain until the Day of Judgment. So it's very important for us to understand, if somebody is talking about Islam, they need to come from Quran, from Sunnah. But if the people, they just say, let's just do it the way it is now because we're from the same country, that's wrong. Are we going to do it this way because we're from the same tribe? It's wrong. Now we're going to do it this way because we all speak the same dialect. It's wrong. Doesn't matter where you're from, what skin color you have, what language do you speak. It matters one thing. You want to practice the correct Islam? Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Unless you deprive yourself from that. You can practice the correct Islam because Allah has preserved the Quran and Allah has preserved the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm addressing my teenager sisters in Islam and also whoever is listening to this. Most of you, if not all of you, still go to school. And you know what you have to go through to finish that year, that school year. You have curriculums, math, physics, chemistry, art, science, this, that. Many of those curriculums you might not like, but you still have to do it. Why? Because you have to pass the test. You hate math, but you still have to find some time to follow chapter by chapter. And you got to do your homeworks because you want to pass the test. Well, guess what? Don't you want to pass the test on Yawm al-Qiyamah? This life is nothing but a test for all of us Muslims. It is a test. And the result, you will see it, and I will see it on the Day of Judgment when we stand in front of Allah. Allah tells us, there are certain people that will receive their book with their right hand. And they will be happy, and they turn to their families happy. While others will receive their book of record with their left hand. And they will wish they will never receive that book. A book that will be open for them on the Day of Judgment. As Allah tells us in the Quran, يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا. A book of record. Whatever you did on this dunya, it will be open for you. Your book of record of your deeds will be open, whatever you did in it. And it will be said to you, اقرأ كتابك. Read your book. Allah does not wrong us, but we wrong ourselves sometimes. And therefore, this advice from me to you, you're like my daughters. I have daughters in your age, and I want good for them. That's why these advices are coming from my heart, by the way. And I want good for you. So I was making the point that the people of before, they had to travel. They have to look for somebody here or there. Hundreds of miles away, they will travel to learn the correct Islam. Now, alhamdulillah, you have this correct information on your on the internet, on your PC, laptop, on MP3s, on iPhones, on your phones, CD players. We have books. Many are the ways, subhanAllah. Allah is so merciful to us in this time. Allah has mercy. And we have to take advantage of that. Which remind me to tell you that perhaps we have no excuses. It's not like we're going to say, hey, ain't nobody around. Knowledge come to us. So we have to start learning. Like I told you, the same way you go to school, or if you're homeschooling, and you still have to finish that chapter. You still have to finish the other chapter and move on to the other volume. Sometimes some curriculums have 2 volumes, 3 volumes. Each one of them have 400, 500 pages. And you finish every one of them. And you do every single homework. Have you finished Juz Amma? Have you finished one book on Tawheed? Like the book of Tawheed? Have you finished any book that talks about the correct Islam, like Thalathat Usul, the 3 fundamental principles? And by the way, I'm mentioning these books. Inshallah ta'ala, if you don't have them, write them down and try to get them. The Book of Tawheed of Shaykh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab. The 3 fundamental principles with the explanation of Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen. And many other books. The Prophet's Prayer described by Shaykh Al-Albani. There is other books that talks about the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, his companions, the female companions. You will learn so much from that. So you're no stranger now. If I tell you you need to study the religion, if I'm talking to some old sisters, but mashallah, Allah guide them, they took Shahada when they were 55 and 60, and it's been a while since they study or they read a book, or maybe it become difficult for them to read and to be consistent. But I'm talking to my teenage girl daughters in Islam. That's all you do every day. You read, you read, you read. But you just have to find time and tell yourself, I'm a Muslimah. And the only way I'm going to understand this religion and excel in it, inshallah, and benefit from it, if I know what it is. I gotta find some time. The same way I read so much for my school. Well, guess what? This school is only for this life. You're gonna get a degree and get a good job, whatever the case is, or you may not. But this is just gonna stop here in this life. What's gonna get you to the Jannah is you make sure that you learn your religion correctly and properly. You need to learn about your Lord who created you and fashioned you in the best form. You may not be, or your family may not be the most rich family, but they have Islam. They're teaching you Islam. That's the best thing that you may have. And that's the best gift somebody can give. But keep in mind, money, whatever is going to do for you in here, in this life. But what's going to help you when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is your deeds. Good or bad. Keep in mind now, as a human being, and especially for the youth, there are three things that are very important for you right now. You want to be healthy? Nobody wants to be sick. And if there is anybody sick, may Allah cure them, ameen, and make it easy for them. Health is very important. And time. Health and time and money. And money. These three things, they come together. You need these three things. You need health. And you need time. And you need money. But you can't have all of them. That's almost impossible. It's rare when people have all this at one time. I tell you why. Because now I'm addressing you. You that 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, or 18, or 19, or even 20, or 21. Okay, you still live with your family. Now you have two things. You have health and you have time. But you have no money. In another term, you're broke. But you're not broke, actually. Because you have a lot of things that are priceless. Can you put money? Can you put a price on your eyes? If somebody tell you, okay, we give you $10,000, but we take your eyes. You will say no. Thank you. Keep your money so you're not broke. Now, the people when they grow up a little bit, 25, 30, what they do? They find a job. Okay? Because when they were younger, what they do? Because they have health and time, they study and this and that. Now what happened? Maybe they have a good job when they're 25. She find a good husband. Alhamdulillah. Now what happened at this time? She may have and he may have money now. So they still have health and money, but forget about the time. They have no time anymore. Because they have to work hard for it to get that money. So remember, when they were younger, they have two things, health and time, no money. Now they got that degree and this and that. Now they have to work hard for that money. They're getting that money, but what? Time is gone. They have no time. And then when they grow up older, they have time again because they retired or something. And they have money and time, but they don't have health. See? No health. It's always like looking for something. It's always like you have two or one and you're still looking for the other two. That's when Islam came handy. The Prophet ﷺ said to us, take advantage of five things before five others come upon you. One of them is your health. When you're healthy, read more, fast, do tahajjud. Because when you're sick, you can't do nothing, you shut down. As a teenager, I understand it's not easy. especially for girls. Girls are more emotional than boys, than most boys, okay? Alright? That's normal. This is how Allah created you. That's why sometimes some teenage girls, they're like, that's it. All the doors are closed in front of me. That's it. I'm done. I can't do nothing. I can have no fun. You feel like you're restricted. And you feel like everybody is around, is against you. And you feel like it's dark all the time, even though it's a sunny day. It's because the way you feel. It's because how you feel. And because that's where you want to put yourself in that corner. It's like somebody in a big room with a lot of lights, but they walk to a creepy, gloomy corner, and they sit in it and then complain. Wait a minute, it's bad corner. No, everybody, move up a little bit. Get yourself out of that corner. And what's going to get you out of the corner? Knowledge. What's going to get you in your sadness? Yes, I understand, like I told you, I have a teenage girl. And they go through things, the same thing you go through. And they just feel like, that's it. I have nothing working for them. They're very sad. All of a sudden, they just like somebody switched them, like there is a switch. One day they're happy, beautiful, and one day they're very sad and emotional. The parents understanding this allows us to work with them and help them. Well, like I told you, being emotional is only normal and natural because you're a human, for one. You're not an angel. And for a second, this is hikmah from Allah. You girls, you have to be like that. Because look, I'm a grown-up person. But if I have anything to talk to or if I'm going through something, I know who to call. To call my mother. And she's the one that's going to say, don't worry about it. And well, now I start to call her because if she was close to me, I will go to her and she'll give me a hug. And she's going to treat me like a baby. Because I'm always going to be her baby. Always. I'm telling you this. I'm a father. My children, of course, we have a nice relationship. But let me tell you one thing. When the children, they need something, they cry or they sick, they don't come to me. They go to their mother. And sometimes I feel sad. And jealous sometimes too. I'm like, why are they always going to you? And she's like, hey. Thank Allah. They're going to one of us. And then when he hit me, I said, Alhamdulillah. See, that's the mother. Look, first of all, that baby spent 9 months inside of her, in her belly. And then when the baby is born, she feed him, not me. So, subhanAllah, it's Allah put that affection in the mother's heart. And nobody can change that. So, to be emotional, my point, I'm mentioning this to make you understand, because you need that. Because everybody turns to the mother, or to the uncle, or to the aunt, or to the grand sister, the sister, or the grandmother. So you need, if you're not that, have that emotion and have that goodness in you, that's it, who are we going to turn to? So it's very important for you to understand, being emotional is normal for you. But what's not normal is that you let the shaitan use that against you. You need to learn the religion. Why? Because when you learn the religion, it helps you. Sometimes you think like you're the only one on earth that's going through problems, right? That's what you think. You think everybody have fun in the house. And you run and cry and shut that door in your bedroom and cry and think like they downstairs or whatever, upstairs or next room, they having fun. No. Everybody is going through what they will go through. It's just the people that express it in different ways. Some people, they go on through maybe something worse than you, but they still sit and giving you a smile. It may be fake sometimes. And you choose to run and cry. Huh? Some girls, they go on to even worse than that. But you don't want to do that because you're a Muslimah. You know that Allah is a Raqib over you. So don't you think that you're the only one that going through stuff. Everybody's going through something. But we have the best example in our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What did he used to do? You think he is the best of all mankind? He's the best. Nobody better than him in the creation. And you would think that his life is going to be all easy? No. If you read the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam biography, what he went through, subhanAllah, it's amazing. He almost lost his life many times. People throwing him with rocks. Even when he's performing ibadah, prayer, people put bad things on him, push him around for some 23 years. Who pushes you around? Nobody. Who threatens you? Nobody. Well, see, it's difficult. It's not going to be easy for you to understand exactly what I'm saying. But that's the reason I'm saying this. If I sit right here and tell you, listen, it's not difficult. Are you just like making big thing of it? I'd be lying to you right now. But lying is haram. But I'm going to tell you, yes, life is not easy. Yes, if you say to me that, if my daughter comes to me and says, yes, it's hard, I'm going to say, yes, welcome to the club. Yeah, it's hard, it's dunya. But we have an alternative. We Muslims, alhamdulillah, we don't go for depression. We shouldn't. We don't turn to Oprah. Man, we're going to find solutions with Oprah. Oprah needs solutions from Islam. May Allah guide her to Islam, I mean. We want good for her and for others. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Istawsu bin nisa'i khayra." Be nice and kind to women in general. May Allah guide Oprah and all those women out there in Islam, I mean. Because it's good for them. So yes, life's going to be difficult. Ups and downs. Look at you. Don't you, every food you eat is all good and go down the pipe? No, some food stick with you and give you trouble. You don't sleep for 2 nights. Some people, because of what they eat, something they love, and they have to go to the hospital. Man, there are times you cry, times you laugh, times you okay, times you're not. Days are you healthy, days you're sick. Sometimes your friends tell you good things, some they turn against you. It's like a storm, beautiful sunshine, but there is a storm comes in. But keep in mind that storm always going to be followed by another sunshine. It doesn't matter how long that night may be, Fajr always comes true. Yes, sometimes you may like, look, this night seems like it's never going to end. Yes, to you, because you're putting your mind into it. If you ignore it and want to sleep like you did before, before you know it, the sun shines like, oh, it's over already? Because you're enjoying it. That's what I'm telling you. Enjoy your teenage time. It's going to go fast. And then you're going to get up, you're going to be busy with children, with this, with that. And you're like, I wish if I take advantage of it. Memorizing more Quran. Doing things for me that will help me in Yawm al-Qiyamah. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The day when no wealth and no children will be of any benefit except the one who brings a pure heart. وَقْتُكِ ثَمِينٌ. Your time is very, very precious. And every time, every moment of it that goes by, if you don't use it properly, by doing a righteous deed, it's lost, it's gone. It's gone. And you cannot have it again. And if I ask you a question, how many days in a week, if I said how many days are in a week, you may say 7, right? I say that's a wrong answer. Yes, it's wrong. How many days in a week? Okay, 7, right? Wrong. What if I tell you there is only 3 days in a week? There ain't no 7 days. We think there is 7 days, but as for us Muslims, we have no 7 days. We have 3 days. Today, yesterday, and tomorrow. That's all we have. You don't have 7 days. Who told you you have 7 days? You have today, yesterday, and tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Can you go back to it? No. Can't. No back in the future stuff. So how you benefit from yesterday? By taking a time out. Just sit somewhere by yourself and say, listen, I'm a Muslimah. Yes, I'm young, but still. Now I have to worship my Lord, who created me, fashioned me in the best form, gave me 2 beautiful eyes, 2 ears, I can hear everything, gave me health, I can eat whatever, pizza, whatever, berries, doesn't matter, chicken, ice cream, chicken sugar, whatever it is. You can drink water, you can drink tea, you can... Subhanallah. Don't you know certain people, they have a lot of money, can't even drink water? Not even water. No pizza, forget about it. Forget about rice, meat. Forget about salad, ice cream, pies, cakes. None of that. They have a lot of money. But you can eat whatever you want, as long as halal. Allah provide you with the intellect. Some people, they don't even know who they are. They don't know their names. They don't know what country they're from. They don't know their parents. They don't even know if they are a boy or girl. But you know who you are. You know your name. You know your parents. You know your neighbors. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored you. So you always ask yourself, I'm a Muslim. Allah has bestowed upon me endless bounties. From the air I breathe, the fresh water I drink, the variety of food I eat, health, intellect, sound mind, beautiful family. But what he wants from me? To maintain the skies or the mountains, or to feed the birds or the fish in the water? No. He wants one thing from us, to worship him properly as he commanded. And he doesn't benefit from that worship. We do benefit from it. So how you benefit from yesterday? You can't go back to it. To do what you didn't do yesterday. Or to be what you're supposed to be yesterday. The only way you can benefit is by tawbah. You check your deeds and you say, listen, I've done certain things yesterday that was not good. I said certain things that I shouldn't say. It's not befitting for a Muslim to say. And as long as you're still alive, you can say, I'm sorry. You can turn to Allah and ask Allah for forgiveness. As for tomorrow, tomorrow is not guaranteed for anybody. Death is certain. Tomorrow is not. Now we're talking right now, but it's not guaranteed for us to see tomorrow. So how do you benefit from tomorrow? It's not even guaranteed for you by having good intentions. By saying, subhanallah, if Allah give me or allow me to see another day tomorrow, I'm going to try my best to be better tomorrow than I was today. I'm going to try my best to read more Quran tomorrow, to be kind to my parents tomorrow more, to do my chores on the time, to pick up my room. Sometimes some teenage girls, man, they got problems picking up their own room. I don't know why. Even if you were taught to do other things, mashallah, your mother, she does so much for you. Don't you remember when you were little and she used to do everything around the house? Now you're grown up, you're 14, you're 15, you're 16, you're 17. Don't you want to give your mother a break? Do it with your love, from your heart. Don't do it and you're grumpy. It's going to be difficult for you to do it. Put a smile on your heart before you put it on your lips. Okay? Your heart has to be joyful. You have to say, listen, I live in this house. I don't have a job. I don't need a job. Because they're not asking me for a job. They're taking care of me, my father and my mother. Or my grandparents, or whatever, who you live with. They're not asking me to pay any bill, or rent, or to bring food. They're taking care of me. They're even buying me my clothing. But let me make myself useful. Let me appreciate what they do for me. And you run the vacuum. Takes 3 minutes, man, to run the vacuum. Your mother been running that vacuum for years. For 13 years. You think you're going to have a problem running for three minutes? And wallahi, if you do it on your own, subhanAllah, your mother is going to come and give you a hug and a kiss. And she was going to say, no, why you did it? I was going to do it. And trust me, she mean it. Even when your mother tell you to do certain things, and she feel bad later on, and she's like, what, maybe I told her to do more, oh, this and that. That's what a mother is. That's what a mother is. And you will remember what I'm saying now one day, inshallah. So how you benefit from tomorrow, because it's not guaranteed for you to see another day, by having sincere intention, knowing that the Jannah is levels, and you don't want to settle for less. Man, you don't settle for less. If the second floor is better than the first floor, you don't want to ask for the basement. Is there a third floor? See, I'm talking about. Is there a third floor? Because you know third floor got to be better than the second floor. Well, guess what? The Jannah is levels. What are you going to do now? Are you doing enough to just get to the first level in the Jannah? I know I'm not. And may Allah have mercy on us. I know that. That's a reality. If Allah doesn't have mercy on me, I don't know where I'm going to be. And this is the attitude you should have. You're a Muslim now. What Islam teach you? Teach you that you are a servant of Allah. And you're going to die. Man, you don't believe like the Chinese believe. Once you die, you're going to turn to a butterfly. Please. Only to be chased by children? No, we believe you're going to die, but you're going to stand in front of your Lord on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and He's going to ask you about those favors He gave you. I gave you health. What do you do with it? Arrogant? Boasting whenever you see somebody who's less fortunate than you? No, that's no good. You got to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has given you. And use it. Because you never know when you're going to lose it. Use it before you lose it. Now you're healthy and you're running. Guess what? Don't you see other children younger than you? They're on crutches? On wheelchair? If you don't believe me, tell your mother or your father to take you to the nearest hospital. And you will see for yourself. And you'll be grateful and say, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. I'm going to be nice to myself. Don't you think when you do nice things, you're nice to somebody? You're just nice to yourself. You're doing yourself a big favor. But all this is going to happen if you get to know your Lord. SubhanAllah, if somebody give you a nice, I don't know, man, because you're teenagers, man. So I don't know, I'm not going to say toys, but I don't want to insult you. But maybe teenagers still play with some toys, okay? if there is somebody in a family always nice to you, whenever you need something, you turn to them, they have it for you. They've taken you to beautiful places. They buy you whatever you want. Don't you know much about them? Whenever their names is mentioned, your hearts feel, jumped, and you want good for them. Do we feel the same way? And do you feel the same way when Allah's name is mentioned? Who has given you much, a lot of good you enjoy, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, look, when I said there is only 3 days, but actually it narrows to only 1 day. Because yesterday is gone, you can't go back to it. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Actually, we only have 1 day. And what day is today? Not, I don't mean this morning, because morning is gone. Now we have this moment. Now I want you at this moment to say, Subhanallah. Subhanallah, that's serious. Because death can come upon you in any moment. Death doesn't choose between, oh, she's still young. No. The angel of death, he's commanded by Allah. And he does not disobey Allah's orders. So when he's sent to anyone, make no mistake, that person gets to go. And you know, death is only one way. I know your turn. Nobody come back from death. So are we ready? That's the question. Are you ready to face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your deeds? Once again, bring me to the same thing, to be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to appreciate. Appreciate the security and the safety you live in. Don't you hear about Muslims' families going through so much hardship in Muslim countries? You live in a non-Muslim country, but you still have security and safety. Because Allah wants that for you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be safe, ameen, and protect us. My dear teenager girls, my daughters in al-Islam, my sisters in al-Islam, there is a crazy world out there. I gotta tell you right like this. It's a jungle out there. Concrete jungle. It's a lot of evil, temptations. It's rare when you find somebody that can really, really give you sincere advice. People are gonna take advantage of you unless you learn your religion. Because the religion will tell you and teach you to distinguish from what is right from what is wrong, good from bad, that which is beneficial for you from what's harmful. You don't have to go through experience. Who tell you you gotta go through it? No, you don't have to go through anything. That's for those people who don't have guidance. Those teenage girls that don't have no Islam and no guidance, they're like, well, we're gonna go through it and we'll see what happens. No, you don't want to take that chance. Allah tells us the path of good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most knowledgeable of them. The all-wise, the all-merciful to His servants. Subhanallah, I wonder every day, man, about the evil and the atrocity of evil that is out there. May Allah protect you, ameen. Especially if you go to some school that doesn't teach you the proper Islam. Or you may even go to a public school. What are they going to tell you about Islam? Nothing. So make from your house an institute, the real school that teach you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About the hereafter, about the Jannah and the good things in it. About the hellfire and the terrible things in it. So that you can make your mind now. Don't you ever say and make this the mistake that other people make. They say, listen, I'm only 15 or 16 or whatever the case is. When I'm 25, when I'm 30, I'm going to be straight. And then I'm going to put the hijab on. And then I'm going to read more Quran. And then I'm going to be a good Muslimah. Who lied to you? Who told you you're going to be 25? Who tell you you're going to be 25? Alhamdulillah, you are 15. And take advantage of it. If I tell you right now, listen, if you are righteous, if you're good, and you pray, and you put the proper hijab on, and you respect your parents, and you're studious, and you're careful, and alhamdulillah, and you're doing good as related to your relationship with your Lord, man, I give you $1,000 a day. You think you're going to tell me, no, I don't want your money, when I be 25, I see you again. No, I don't think so. I don't think so you're going to turn down this offer. That's $1,000 a day. That's $365,000 a year. I don't think Obama make that money a year. And you're not going to tell me, listen, I'm only 15, brother. Offer me that. Make that offer when I'm 40 or when I'm 30. Now you want to start cashing right now. Well, guess what? I don't have that money. Let me tell you straight right now. I don't have that money. And even if I have it, I might not keep my promise. But what Allah has is more beautiful and better than this. Allah has given you your health. If you're so sick and you can eat, you can sleep, and somebody tell you, okay, you're going to stay sick and we take your health away, give it to another girl for $1,000. I'm sure you're going to say, man, keep your money for yourself. We're going to take your eyes and give you $10,000. We give it to another rich girl because she lost her. You're going to say, listen, man, let her buy some other eyes. I need mine. So that's what I want you to do. Whenever you do and understand Islam correctly and practice it, Allah reward you. And Allah's rewards is beyond money. You can put no price on that. Because you cannot buy one good deed, even if you have the money of all of the world, you can't buy one good deed. When you read the Quran, don't you know that the Prophet ﷺ tells us, for one letter, you get 10 good deeds, the least you get. That's at least you get 10 good deeds for one letter. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, Al-Fatiha has 113 letters. So if you recite Al-Fatiha, and how long it take you to recite Al-Fatiha? Not even a minute. So 113 times 10, okay, you do the math, that's 1,130 good deeds. Subhanallah. The mashayikh, they says Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-Baqarah has some 25,500 letters. So you are teenage girls, you're still in school. I'm giving you some statistics here. Okay? So now, if you read the Baqarah once, it takes you 1 hour and a half. Sometimes you sit in your bedroom wondering, not even thinking, for 3 hours. 6 hours, what you doing out there? You yourself don't know what you're doing. You just sit in your room and looking at the wall. And then 6 hours later, your mother say, what you doing? You say, I don't know. You've been there for six hours. And you're like, no, I wasn't. It's like maybe like 2 minutes. Now, you can recite Surah Al-Baqarah in less than 2 hours. So now how much good deeds you're getting? Okay, it's easy. 25,500 times 10, that's a quarter of a million. 250,000 good deeds. A quarter of a million of good deeds in less than 2 hours. Allahu Akbar. Beside the point, when you read the Quran, it cleans your hearts. It's like when you have a sore throat and you got all that stuff stuck in your throat. And I don't know what you do, and you get it out of your system, right? They say, take this medicine, drink this, get this, and you get it. The same thing. The Quran, when you read the Quran, it gets a lot of bad things out of your system. That grumpiness, when you're grumpy, and you're in a bad mood, and you're emotional, read more Quran. Try it. It works. Why it works? Because Allah tells us, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. Indeed, through the remembrance of Allah, do hearts feel at ease. I don't know, maybe you have questions or something. I don't want to keep running, because if you don't stop me, I keep going. I got a lot of things to share with you. I have a lot of material here in front of me. But let me finish with one thing. And then, inshallah ta'ala, if you have any questions, just write them down, inshallah ta'ala, and put them under here, inshallah, under the curtain, inshallah. Along with learning, I want you to be kind and gentle and adorn yourself with the manners of Al-Islam. Be nice when you address others, especially your parents, your father, your mother, your grandparents, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters. And when you come to the masjid, you be kind and gentle and nice to others, because this is from Islam. Likewise, guard your tongue. Guard your tongue. Say that which is good. Or at least be silent. You don't have to say something. Say that which is good. Learn to be silent. That's a good quality. You don't have to keep talking all day. And if you say that which is good. Protect your eyes, your ears from haram. Don't look at that which is not right, that not permissible. Don't listen to music. Subhanallah, sometimes some teenage girl, a Muslima, and we have the Quran, and she's like, music make me feel good. Is that right? That's what the shaitan is telling you. Music make you feel good. Since when shaitan wants good for you? Since when? Allah wants good for you. And Allah says the Quran is good for you. Give you rest, happiness, joy, cure for you, a light, a guidance, your roadmap to the Jannah. Music is no good in it. That's from the temptation of the shaitan. Likewise, I want you in briefly to be careful on how you use the internet. Because sometimes you're a teenager, now your family, you're not like 7 or 9 or 8, they keep the password away from you and the like. Now you're 15, 17, 16, 18, 19, so you're a teenager now, you're a grown up, almost. Now you have that little freedom. But you have to be careful how you use the internet, especially Facebook. Facebook, huh? Mm. I don't know much about Facebook, that's why I asked my wife. She gave me some advice, as I'm sharing them with you. I gotta be truthful, you know, I'm not gonna take a credit for this one. Because I did talk to my wife, I said, listen, I'm addressing teenagers, I have only one in the house. So I'm not going to be talking to a lot of them. Any advices? She gave me some very good advices that come from a mother. And because me, I don't know how Facebook works, because I don't have one. I never been one. I never seen one. If you tell me what is this, I don't know. And I don't want to know, because I heard some bad things about it. But Facebook, it sensitizes people towards evil. Maybe those who have Facebook account, whatever they call it, they may have a good intention. They want to use it for good things. And they may start with having on their accounts good friends. But then those good friends, they have cousins, they have family members, some of them they might not be Muslim. And before you know it, something just pop in front of you, as I was told, can you accept or something, whatever? No, don't accept anything. Sometimes those friends of yours that may be close to you, they may be tempted by others and they may start doing something bad. They may start, people on Facebook, they talk about what they do in their life, and that's gossip. And that's haram, that's backbiting, that's gossip. You think you have time to gossip and talk about stuff? Talk about those actors, how much money they make, and how she look good in her dress. A'udhu billah. Man, you wanna prepare yourself for the grave, talking about how she looks good. Forgive me, I can't mention no names. I don't know. I don't want to mention no names, even if I know. That's what they do on those things, man. How she looks good, how she did very good, how blah blah blah. What good is that? That's what the shaitan. In the shaitan's book, no? Yes, that's good. But with Allah, it's evil. Haram. And then look how tricky the Facebook can get, because the shaitan is tricky. Now yes, one of your friends, they may send you something bad, and then you're like, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, I'm a Muslim, and you're a Muslim too, don't you fear Allah? Okay. A week later, two, another message. Three. And then subhanAllah, before you know it, you see that your friends, maybe all of them, they listen to music, all of them watch TV, all of them talks about whatever. And then it may become normal to you, you know what I'm saying? The first time when you receive the first message, A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah, this is not right. But now you will receive messages, just delete them and ignore them. Now you didn't have that energy and that same zeal and emotion that you had first, because that's what makes us human. I'll give you an example to make this clear. If you move next to a train track, let's say you move to this nice place, apartment or a house, but here is the problem, there is a track, train track right by the house. I'm sure that first night you didn't go to sleep. First week, another month. But then after that you become normal, right or wrong. Likewise, if you move and live next to a hospital, and you're just trying to get some sleep, the sirens of the ambulance, and you wake up, what is that? You can sleep. The first week, first month, but then it becomes normal to you. That's what sins. Your good fitra will tell you, this is evil. But then if it's perpetrated in front of you, day after day, week after week, month after month, I'm afraid it may become, you know, you may become sensitized into that. I know we don't have a lot of time, and I stop here, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our teenage girls from evil, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open their hearts to learn more about this religion. And we parents, we have to make it easy for them. We have to be lenient with them. We have to understand what they go through. Okay, we shouldn't forget that we were teenagers once. Of course, our time is not like theirs. The time when we were teenagers, subhanAllah, we didn't have much, man. We just like... But now they have so much to face. And we have to try to be their friends. Try to talk to them. Because if we're not talking to them, somebody is. Okay, we start with the first question. I don't promise you to answer the questions. I promise you to read them. If I know the answer, I share with you. If I don't... Well, you are not going to be the only one that doesn't know the answer. How important is to be obedient to my parents? I have a hard time agreeing with my mom. First of all, I would like to thank this teenage girl for being honest. So now, through this question, you just show that you have one of the beautiful qualities that a Muslim should have, honesty. Honesty. That's precious. That's priceless. And that's a very, very important quality that all of us should have, to be honest. How important is to be obedient to my parents? You know how important? Because it's obligatory. Who made it obligatory? Allah. Allah says, وَقَدَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. Your Lord has decreed that none has the right to be worshipped except He, and you must to be kind and nice to your parents. You have a hard time agreeing with your mom? Like I told you earlier, it's normal. Not everything that your mom tells you is going to go straight to your brain, and then your brain tells you, go ahead and do it. It will be nice if this is always the case. But you're a teenager, you're exploring, you know what I'm saying? You're exploring, you're not that 7 years old, eight, nine. You're exploring things. And in 5 years from now, or 10 years from now, you're going to be the mom. And maybe your daughter may send me a question like this. If I'm still around, of course. Of course, you may not agree in everything your mom But what's important is the way you do it. Be kind, be nice, be gentle. Don't raise your shoulders in front of your mother. Don't give her the look, not along the hand. Okay? Be kind to your mother. If you don't agree with things she tell you, go give her a hug and a kiss. And tell her how much you love her, and then tell her mother, I'm not trying to disagree with you or to go against what you said, but you know, I'm a girl. And he used to be a girl just in my age. Okay? So I don't understand what you said. Can we just talk about it? Can we just do it another time? And if you, the mother, if your daughter comes to you this way, you got to treat her the same way. Tell her, of course. Of course, girl. Of course, honey, or something like that. So yes, it's very important for you to be kind to your parents, to be obedient to them in that which is good. If they tell you something that is not good, is not from Islam, which lead you to disobey Allah, you don't obey them, but still you have to be kind and gentle and nice and merciful. It's enough, your mother, man. Your mother, she carried you in her womb for 9 months. Do you remember? No, you don't. And you remember? You don't remember, but this is a reality. When your mother, she was pregnant, by carrying you in her womb, you change everything about her life. You change her diet. She can eat what she used to eat before because of you. You change the way she sleeps. She can't even sleep the way of you. She can't even dress the way. But she's doing this with all happiness. And you don't remember the labors neither, you know? Neither do I. But our mother, they go through a lot of hardship for us to be in this world. But after all those pains and screaming and all this, what happened? SubhanAllah, the best smile on her face when she sees you. Best smile. She's crying, she's all that. She's crying and screaming and all this. But as soon as you're out and you're screaming now, a big smile on her face. She gets you, she hugs you, she kisses you. They didn't even clean you yet. And after that, SubhanAllah, who taught you how to crawl? Who taught you how to walk? Who changed your diapers? Who feed you? Who wakes up? Who really wakes up when you wake up every night to eat? Because when you were a baby, you can't just eat for 6-8 hours. Every other half an hour. And since you mentioned your mom, let me give all the mothers a credit, because I know when my babies, they used to cry, I used to elbow my wife and I say, hey, your son is up. And she's the one that wake up with a big smile and feed them and all that. So you be kind to your mother and be nice to her, inshallah ta'ala, and work on that. If you find it difficult for you, read more Quran. And turn to Allah and ask Allah to remove that from your heart, because it's not good for you to disagree with your mother. Islamic studies. Since Ramadan, I have 1 day of fast to make up. On the day before Eid, I fasted the day where all your deeds will erase for 2 years. I heard that since I fasted that day, then it will account as well for the makeup one on Ramadan. Does that mean I do not need to make up that 1 day that I missed? This is a very good question as well. Actually, it depends on your intention. When you mention, it says you fasted 1 day before the Eid, you mean like the day of Arafat, the ninth of Dhul Hijjah. Okay, fasting that day is beautiful. Has a lot of good, because the Prophet ﷺ says he expiate this year and the one before it. But see now, if you have your intention at that day, I don't know what was your intention. If your intention was to make up that day that you have missed in Ramadan, and it just happened that you choose to do it on that day, then it's good. But if you just fasted that day, the one before the Eid, as you mentioned, to get the great reward, or because everybody was fasting, not having the intention to make up that day, no, you still have to make up one day. Still have to make up one day, because the Prophet ﷺ says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Intentions are judged, the actions are judged according to intentions. طيب, while I'm waiting for some more questions, if there is any, I'm going to keep giving some advices, inshallah, such as taking advantage of your time. In a good, like the time that Allah has given us, we take advantage of it. Because on the Day of Judgment, as I was saying, we're going to be held accountable. And we're going to be asked questions. So that's why it will be make it easy for us to take account of our actions here in this dunya. Like, you ask yourself, are you a good Muslimah? Are you doing what you're supposed to be doing? Are you praying correctly? Are you worshipping Allah correctly? Are you doing what you're supposed to do and staying away from what you're supposed to stay away from? Why is it so important to do that now? Because just in case if you find some mistakes, and you will find mistakes, because we all have mistakes. We all have problems. Accept this reality. We have shortcomings. If somebody say, listen, I don't know what the brother is talking about, I got no issues. Well, that's an issue in itself too. That's the biggest issue, not knowing your problems, not knowing your mistakes. It's like you're sleeping in a puddle of water because there's a leak in the ceiling, but you're like, no, ain't no leak, I don't see it. Well, you're going to drown one day. That's what happened with the mistakes. People, they make mistakes, they disobey Allah, they do a lot of evil, and they don't know what they're doing. No, that's very dangerous. So we have to spend our times in that which will bring us benefit. And anything that doesn't have no benefit, we'll leave it alone. Man, our life is so short, sisters. Believe me. And this is for me too. This is it. You think me, I'm just giving these advices. Every single advice that I'm giving right now, apply on me first. May Allah have mercy on us. We have to use our times in that which is beneficial for us. Anything that is not beneficial, it should go away. What about some of us even doing things that are harmful for us? Not just have no benefit, but have a lot of harm. So spend quality time with your parents. Tell them how much you appreciate what they do for you. Express that through your love, kisses, hugs. Be nice to them. Help them, assist them. Read a book for them. Especially if your parents, you may have parents that don't know how much to read Arabic. Alhamdulillah, they pay their money and they put you and they pay for you to in that program that you learn Quran, that you learn Arabic. What are you going to do about it right now? That make you happy if your mother don't know how to read the Quran? Well, at least she want to hear it from you. Yes, you may tell me, oh, I can play YouTube for her, Manshawi, Abdul Bast, Abdul Samad, Husari, Mu'aykli, Sudais, Ajmi. Yes, but she don't want that. She want to hear it from you. Trust me. And believe me. When she hears it from you, it sounds better than Sudais. Because she hears from her daughter. So you sit down and read some Quran for your mother. Read that book of Kitab al-Tawheed for her. Tell her mother, come here, sit down. And you read. Alhamdulillah. Be happy with Islam. Don't let the what you see in the street fool you. Because that stuff ain't no good for you. Don't let what you see on magazines, what you see whatever on TV, what you see on the buses, what you see on your way to school, Don't you think that's the life? This is no life. It brings nothing but problem. The real life is the life of the hereafter. And the hellfire is real. Read more about the hellfire. Read about how hot is that fire. It breaks down everything that is thrown in it. You can't even take a hot shower. You'll be playing with the knobs. Can't even eat a hot slice of pizza. You put it, sit for a minute to cool off. But the hellfire is real. We're human. We make mistakes. We're not perfect. But we need to listen to these reminders. All of us. Don't you think that I'm just here giving you this advice? I don't need any. I need every single one of them. But see, we grown up, mashallah. We went through stuff. We may know how to deal with certain things. But you're on a path. You're on a road. Okay. I'm going to do my best because we have only like 10 minutes. Alhamdulillah, my family are Muslims, but unfortunately, they don't practice. I have children and it's confusing for them. What advice can you give me concerning my family? That's your family. Alhamdulillah, jazakillahu khair, that you still use this term, my family. That's what I want to hear. Jazakillahu khair. Some people, they like, man, I got no family. Alhamdulillah, Allah wants good for you. That's your family. And that's a good thing about you. But still, you got to be nice to them, kind, advise them. And keep in mind that the guidance of the heart is in Allah's hands. It's not in yours. Alhamdulillah, now I understood from your question that you're practicing, alhamdulillah, you're upon the sunnah. But for how long? Allah may take that away from you any time. So continue to make dua that Allah keep you firm upon this and be kind and gentle. Now I ask you a question. If your parents are sick, one of them has cancer and the other one has something worse, how would you feel about that? Terrible. You make a lot of dua for them. You get up at night and you go and see them and do things for them. Well, guess what? If they're not practicing, that's a disease too. Worse than cancer. Because if somebody die upon Tawheed, upon Sunnah, practicing Islam, and they die from cancer, inshallah they will go to the Jannah. But if somebody die from a disease that is called shirk, disease that is called innovations, a disease that is called not practicing nothing, not even no salat, no nothing, that's very serious. And you have to be serious about that. So try, inshallah ta'ala, your best to be kind to them and continue to give them da'wah. Continue to be nice. The da'wah is by actions, not just by do this, do this, do this. No, by actions. Patience. A lot of du'a. Make a lot of du'a. Be kind to them, inshallah ta'ala. And as for your children, tell them. Tell them, listen, these are your grandparents. You gotta respect them. Yes, they're struggling. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify their affairs. Ameen. When a non-Muslim asks you why you wear a hijab, what is the proper way to respond? What is the proper way to respond? I was asked this question before by a non-Muslim that said, why? Why a woman have to cover? And then I said to the same person, you don't have a problem with covering, right? She says, what do you mean? Because I see you covering. You cover some parts of your body. So you don't have problem with covering. Actually, the question is, why the Muslim woman cover more than you do, right? She says, yeah, yeah. I said, well, let me ask you the question to make you understand. Why you cover certain parts of your body and don't expose them? She says, because they are not for everybody to see. I said, bravo. Exactly, that's the answer. Well, guess what? You select only some parts of your body, not for everybody to see. Well, guess what? The Muslim woman, a hair from her head is not for anybody to see. And then I said to her, beside the point, covering, what's better, covering or not? She said, what do you mean? I said, okay, you order a pizza, right? You're hungry, you make an order, a delivery pizza. Okay. One day, the delivery guy, he brought the pizza in his hand with no box. Same pizza, nothing wrong, pepperoni. Nothing wrong, the same order, but no box. Would you accept it? She said, no. I said, why? Not covered. I said, exactly. Okay. You and your child, you're in a store, and he wants for lollipop. One is exposed and one has the wrap on. Which one you go for? She said, the one that is wrapped. I said, exactly, because it's covered. So that's how you talk to them. Tayyib. And of course, that's giving them an intellect answer to their intellect. But then you tell them, because the one who gave us this body, and he commanded us to cover it properly. Only for certain people, but for other people, yes, it's permissible. But those people that is permissible for them, the one who created the heaven and the earth, he's the one who make it permissible for them. Not Hollywood and Beverly Hills. Assalamu alaikum. I noticed most masjids have activities for the youth, boys, but never the sisters. Why is that? I don't know this never, never things, what it means with it. Is it never, ever, 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 never? Well, guess what? If you have activities home with your mom and your father, why you need another activity with other strangers? Don't you think that those people, that they are more worthy to have fun around and they need your kindness? The people that are close to you. But I'm just trying to make things easy for you, but I agree with you. I agree with you is that these programs here, to have a program in a masjid, it has to be a program that will benefit everybody. Not just for entertainment. Oh, they have a program, or they have activity. What activities? Mixing? Boys and girls? Haram? They just bring them together, let them do whatever they want to do, learn bad things from each other. Is this a program? Is this really an activity? We'd rather have no activity than that just to bring a bad activity. If you want to have activity for girls, we're going to do it the right way. I will learn from this question, inshallah. I'm going to talk to the Imam, Hafidhahullah, and to the brothers in the administration. As you know, I'm new here. A couple months ago, alhamdulillah, I moved here. And I like it here, alhamdulillah. It's nice. I would thank you all for your support, alhamdulillah. But inshallah ta'ala, this is a very, very good concern. Jazakallahu khairan. That inshallah ta'ala, we'll see what can be done. Some good activities. You're right. We want to allow you to come and benefit from each other as girls. You know, the one of you that knows some Quran, teach it to others. The one that knows some cake, teach it to others how to make that cake. Or how to sew, or how to do this, or how to do that. So that as Muslims, as you come together and talk about the things that please to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and help and assist one another. Yes. Jazakallah khairan for that concern. I'm going to pass it on, inshallah ta'ala, to the Imam and to the administration, inshallah ta'ala. But make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to have activities for everybody, but in a way that is pleasing to Allah, not just for entertainment. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us beneficial knowledge that is coupled with righteous actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us sincerity in everything we say and everything we do. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our youth in general, and especially our teenage girls, since this is for them, this talk is for them. May Allah protect them, ameen. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow them to grow on obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah make them the comfort of their parents. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clean their hearts. May Allah make things easy for them. I know the life of teenager may not be that easy. May Allah make it easy for you all. But the last things I want to tell you is that, keep in mind, you're a teenager now, but you're going to be a mother soon. and a teacher. Yes. So now you get to start right now thinking about those responsibilities. They're going to be on your shoulder one day. And if you start now, it's going to make it easy for you. But if you, the more you delay it, the more it's going to be difficult for you. And he wants to be successful in this life. And yet you want to be successful in the next one. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you and aid you. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you and all of us success in this life and in the hereafter. In the end, once again, I want to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that allow us to present what I have to present to my teenage girls, sisters and daughters in Al-Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them, ameen, and assist them in this life and make things easy for them. Makes the path of good clear to them so they can be upon it and make it easy for them to embark upon it. And may Allah make the path of evil easy and clear for them to see it. And I thank everyone and the parents too who allow the youth or the teenagers to come or drive them here. May Allah reward you greatly. And advice to the parents, be kind, be nice, be gentle, be understanding. Don't you forget that this is a stage that is different than the one you live in right now. And try your best to understand where they come from. When they talk to you, find time to them. And try to set the best example for them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those who, when they say things, they do it and they act upon it. May Allah protect us. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.